We're continuing our teaching today, and we started a conversation on the ABCs of evangelism. The ABCs of evangelism. We're looking at the basics of evangelism. Yesterday, did we do some good work? We laid out some good foundations. All right, so we're going to be continuing on that same conversation. In short, we looked at, in simple terms, what evangelism is. And then we also, because we know what evangelism is, we had to just look at the message and what the message entailed. We said that the gospel, in short, was communicating facts. And these facts are very specific. They are not left to what you feel like is right to be communicated. They are very specific. So we want to pay attention to the facts of these gospels. There are several other things we could say, but we want to pay attention to what is the fact of the gospel, right? So we saw in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, obviously 2, 3, and 4, how that the gospel entailed these facts by Paul's writing. It was the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And of course, he was seen of men like Cephas. It means that men saw him. So the death, burial, resurrection, and the sight or ascension of Jesus. So we're going to be continuing around that same terrain this morning. Right? I had a short night, very short. Did you have a good night? You had a good night. You don't look like you had a good night. Did you sleep early? Yeah. Sort of. Okay. Your eyes are very red and I'm wondering what the issue is. I had a short night, so I'm here again and I saw myself praying for somebody, but that's not going to be in the service because I didn't see it in the service. And so I'm going to pray for you, whoever it is, that I won't tell you. So today we're going to be looking at something. I'm just going to be showing you everything I say. We're going to have emphasis using God's word, right? Okay, I brought my small Bible today. So it means that I want us to read New King James. I want us to break it down into understandable language without thee, thou, withest, shouldest, and all of that. So when I want to avoid all those, I go for my King James. I say, without, shouldest, we, thou, we, so yes, we. You know, so but that's what we're going to be doing today. And, you know, Christianity is a religion that is knowledge-based. Without the knowledge of God's word, we cannot have the accurate practice of Christianity. And of course, the manual to which the believer works with is the Bible. So you find someone say, Charlie, this one, they make you not bring Bible inside, crap. Then that means that we don't have a conversation. Because the Bible is what we use as our main manual or as our main conversation. And so, we cannot build practices that are not consistent with God's word. Every practice we have within our Christian faith is supposed to be coined out of God's word. Without the word of God, we cannot accept practices that are not constant with God's word. So as much as possible, we pattern every activity of our Christian faith with respect to the word of God, or with respect to the foundations that have been laid for us by the apostles, which are the early apostles of the church, because they laid out the foundation to which the church should run. You know, if not, anybody can get up and say that I have a revelation. We need to revise the standard edition of the Bible. The Lord appeared to me in a vision. Do you see that? 2 Pascal chapter 3 verse 5. What's your name? John. John is in the Bible. John is in the Bible. Grace also looks like a biblical name. 1 Martina chapter 2 verse 1. After Revelation, we have 1 Martina. Just add your Bible. We go on 2 Barry chapter 5. Verse 2. Kelly 2 verse 1. Jennifer 3 verse 5. Othniel 7 verse 9. Kakraba. You say, what is that? Kakraba 5 verse 5. So, because of that, we don't want to have any more explanations. So that you have more additions that are not that God himself didn't add. So we stick to it. We pattern every activity after this. You know, John the Revelator already told us, whoever takes away from this book of life or adds to it, there's a curse that's my life, right? It means that don't try to add anything to it. You know, sometimes we have wisdom that is not of God. And then you try to support the word of God with a certain kind of wisdom that is not of God. That's why we take time paying attention to these facts or to these details. If we didn't see Moses in the law make a reference of it, right? We don't see it in the prophets. We don't see it by the early apostles. We can't make references to that by Paul's epistles. It cannot be accepted to be so. If the apostles didn't preach it sounding a certain way, we would be very good students if we taught it in the same way they taught it. Don't you think so? Great. So you don't try to circumvent. You know, Ben's 20 years ago has always been changing. It's been reforming. You know, it's a reformation. The word of God needs no reformation. The word of God in itself is life. It's fully formed before it was given. And that's why on the concept of evangelism, we need to, as much as possible, stick with what God is doing. Now, we said the facts of the gospel entailed some very key and important truths which we must not leave out. There are other things that can be discussed. Now, like I said, you really need to hear me wholly on everything I say. If not, if you were here yesterday, you're going to say, he says, Jesus does not provide. No. I'm just saying, he provides. Let's put provision in its place. Let's put what he came to do in its place. Are you listening? All right. So we're going to look at it. And I just thought to show you something very important. Okay, let's look at Peter's account. We're going to have long, patient reads. I hope you are not in a hurry. To go where? To wash your clothes? Buy fried rice? Okay. Pastor, I've not eaten. I've not eaten too. We all have not eaten. So you are in safe hands. Are you listening? All right. So, Acts chapter 2. We're going to look at Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And we're going to read from verse 14. Now, this was after Matthias was chosen. Sorry, the Pentecost came. The Pentecost day was near, was fully come actually. And they were all gathered with one accord in one place. You know, the Holy Spirit descended. Men said they were drunk. But Peter standing up or stood up saying in verse 14, but Peter standing up with the 11, he raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed to my words. I want you to pay attention, right? Pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. Tell your friend, please pay attention. All right. So, but Peter standing up with the 11 raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only by the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Now, pay attention. This is a sermon, right? Peter is preaching, who happens to be the head of the apostles. He's preaching a sermon. Then he now says, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my man servants and on my maid servants will I pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you see what he says in relation to salvation? Alright, so it's in relation to salvation. He says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. I love Peter's sermon. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands what you have taken by lawless hands have crucified. Do you see that? Are you paying attention? So do we see crucifixion in there? And put to death. Do you see that? Verse 24, whom God did what? Raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David said concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. Skip 29. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David. Of course, because, you know, Jews had a lot of respect for David and a lot of regard for David, right? So he says that, therefore, men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Of course, he makes reference to the fact that the resurrection they were talking about was nothing relating to what David exactly said. They were thinking probably David was going to resurrect, or probably there was going to be one who will come after him that they were expecting to see in the similitude of David. But then we don't see that happening here, right? Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. So they are also saying that David spoke certain words that they were anticipating to see, but that's what you have before you. He's not speaking about himself. The one he spoke about has come before you. He's the one you killed. He's the one you crucified him. Peter was a strong man. Stephen's sermon was fire. That's why we'll get there. So, he foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, verse 31, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus, God has what? Raised up, of which we are all what? Witnesses. Do we see his crucifixion? Do we see his death? Do we see his resurrection? Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which ye see now and hear. For David did ascend into the heavens, but he says to himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, what did they hear? They heard the gospel. That's the preaching of the gospel. But it's just that in this context, Peter, we're going to get to that. That's why I said we're going to get to that. He picks them from a point that they can relate to with respect to the knowledge they have of David. Then sandwiched in that very strongly is the gospel. Can we see that? Now, look at what happened in verse 37. Now, when they heard this, the gospel is very specific. They need to hear something. If it's not there, it's not the gospel. It's another gospel. You know, and Paul says that if anyone come to you and preaches to you another gospel, let him be what? Let him be accursed. Don't listen to him. Stone him. Cut off his head. Let him be accursed. If I come to you, preach you another gospel, or any angel come to you, preach you another gospel, let him be accursed. What is another gospel? It's today what's called, what, I don't know if I'll call it, but I heard it loudly in my ears while I was writing my notes yesterday. Because I know pseudo means something that looks not real. So it's a pseudo gospel. It sounds like the gospel, but it is not exactly the gospel. A typical example of a pseudo gospel or a mixed kind of a gospel is a certain kind of a preaching that places the emphasis on maybe needs. So it's mixed with needs. You may not really understand it, but then your heart will be centered on the need than on what Jesus Christ has done for you. It's what many call the prosperity gospel. So that's a pseudo gospel. It's like we are preaching it, but then there are other things that come together to cloud what should be clear and standing strong. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, you must not leave out these facts. He picks them from a place that they can relate. Then, in that, he has the preaching of the gospel. And he uses David. Everybody knew David. They read Psalms like their heads were dependent on the Psalms. They knew the writings of David very well. So, if you read something and David made a prophecy, you would think he referred to himself. But he was not referring to himself. He was speaking about that which was to come, which was the Christ. In fact, David himself was a type of Christ. So, listen to what it says. Now, when they heard this, they were cut in their hearts, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do now? Do you see that? They were pricked in their heart. Because that is what the gospel does. The gospel The true gospel preached, I'm telling you, don't be wiser than God. The true gospel preached, right, causes men's hearts to be open to what the gospel says it gives, which is eternal life. We're going to be looking at that kind of life. Maybe today, maybe not today. It's what many call Zoe. But then, look at what it says. So, he has preached, then they're now asking, what shall we do to be saved? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus and of the Son, Christ, for the remission of sins. Do you see that? For the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, the message for Peter was very specific. So, if you came to Peter and said, what did you preach? He preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, which is the gospel. Look at Acts 13. I'm going to show you Paul's sermon. Acts 13, verses 30. Acts 13, verses 30. I'm going to be reading a bit slowly again. And we have a long read to somewhere around verses 40. Acts 13, verses 13 to 40. Now, when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Syria and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Paul is a pretty tough guy. Look at what's going to happen. And after reading the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them saying, men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. He looked for trouble, boy. Paul is there. Then you say that, men and brethren, if you have anything to say, if Paul was here, I won't try that. Like, we are all here and I just say, we have closed the meeting. But then, before we close, men and brethren, is there anybody that wants to share anything with us? So there was brother Paul. Uh-huh. So brother Paul, stand up. Mm-hmm. Brother Paul, stand up. Who is my Paul? You are my Paul. Which version do you use? KJV, right. So brother Paul stands up. So then Paul stood up. And motioning with his hand. So he's motioning with his hand. He said, men of Israel, you can sit down. And you who fear God, listen to what I'm going to tell you. The God of this people Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an uplifted hand, he brought them out of it. Now for a time of about 40 years, he put up with their ways in the wilderness. And when he destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotments. After that, he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophets. See where he has started from. He has started from Genesis. Then he moves them into David. Because that's when they needed a king, right? So he's already having a teaching session already. So after that, he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they asked for a king. So God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when they had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do all my will. From this man's seed, According to the promise, God raised up for Israel a savior, Jesus. Do you see how he has come? After John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, "Who do you think I am? I am not he, but behold, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to loose." So he picks them up from a place where they can identify, because they have a lot of knowledge in the law. They have a lot of references to Moses, which is the law. They have a lot of references to David. He picks them up from there. They know that they respect, he knows that they have great respect for the law and the prophet. So he combines them together. Then he now picks them up to David. Then he relates Jesus to the seed of David, because they know David and they have great regard for David. Then he now spoke about John the Baptist, because they also know that there was a man called John the Baptist and he was supposed to preach forth the coming Messiah, right? He was supposed to prepare the way for the Messiah to come. So John the Baptist is on the scene again. So their minds are active. I'm sure they are listening carefully. It's a synagogal message. There's no word like that, actually, please. So he gets them into John. John saying that he is not worthy to lace the latchet of whoever's feet it is. I mean, Jesus' feet, actually. Then he now says, "Men and brethren, sons of family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him." Do you see that? "And thought they found no cause for death in him. They asked Pilate that he should be put to what? Death. Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in the tomb." Do you see that? The gospel here. Now, that's why I said you need to listen to me. Do you see that here? He's not necessarily speaking about death, burial, resurrection. Death, burial, and resurrection is a message. And it needs to be communicated so the person understands what the message is saying. Has he mentioned death? No. But he picks them up from a place, right? Then he now makes them see how that they have killed him, himself. Even though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. So he also picks up the story from Pilate and how that they were responsible for his death. Now, when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in the tomb. But what? God raised him up from the dead. Do you see that? Do you see that? So the gospel is a message, and we need to be able to communicate that message. Anyway, anyhow, it has to be communicated. Are you listening? Whichever way the person is going to understand what has been done, it needs to be communicated. But to leave out these facts is to leave out the gospel and to make it incomplete. "But God raised him up from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers, God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus, as it was also written in the second Psalm, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' And that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken thus." Right? Verse 36. "For David, after he had served his own generation," he now tells them, no, it's not David David is talking about. He's talking about the Christ. So David is not talking about himself. Then he says, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and was buried with his fathers and saw corruption." So is he preaching the gospel? Is he preaching the gospel? "But he whom God raised up saw no what? Corruption. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins." Have you seen that? I told you that is a common factor. The rich man needs it. The poor man needs it. The one who is married needs it. The one who is not married needs it. The one who is healthy needs it. The one who is also not healthy needs it. It goes far beyond your natural state. Do you understand what I'm saying? So do we see a similarity that of Peter's sermon, which is the remission of sin or the forgiveness of sin, with Paul's account of preaching, which is also for the forgiveness of sin? Do you get it? Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sin. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Do you see that? So a common communicative emphasis, he hits it right on the head. Now, it does not exactly sound as the scenario that Peter used. But then, it still is the gospel. Of course, we see David in Peter too, because they relate to David. But see where he picks it up from. Right from the beginning. Tells the story so they can follow. Tells them, okay, then Abraham, he calls them family that belongs to Abraham. So they know that, no, he's talking about something that is not Abraham in itself. He's talking about the Christ. Then he now sums it up together. He says, this man is preached to you for the forgiveness of what? Of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is what? Is justified. Is what? Justified by the law of Moses. The gospel is specific. You want another one? Acts 8. Pay attention. Pay attention. We are talking about Peter and Paul. I mean, that's New Testament. Those are people who can be very... undisputably important. If they preached it this way, what are you going to preach? Do you understand what I'm saying? We can't despise them. And if they preach it this way, we as much as possible will preach it this way too as well. You understand? So this is Peter. Then we go to Paul. Now look at Philip in Acts chapter 8. We're going to be dwelling a lot in Acts chapter 8. How many of us are good at acting today? You're good at acting. Okay. Because we're going to need a lot of acting. So that we can put to test. And we are all going to be listening to you. Yeah, Pastor, we are going to listen to you. So get ready. Myself, I'm going to be learning from you. Okay. Right, Acts chapter 8. Let's look at it in Acts chapter 8. We're going to be going a lot to Acts chapter 8 today. Acts chapter 8, verse number 26. A lot in here, actually. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah, the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? of himself or of another man. And beginning at this scripture, pay attention. Beginning at this scripture, he did what? What do you think Philip was going to preach to him about? The gospel. Now, supernaturally, the eunuch was already reading Isaiah 53. I'm going to show you. Should I show it to you? Yeah. Isaiah 53. How he was wounded for our transgressions. You know, was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. By his stripes we are healed. Then he now says, oh, we like sheep, we have gone to a slaughter. Every man has gone to his own way. We're going to see it. But then you see that he preached what? Jesus. Don't forget, what are going to be the facts to which he preached about Jesus? The gospel facts. He preached Jesus to him. Now, look at what he says in verse 37. Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, believe what? Believe that which I preach to you, which is Jesus. Right? Christ. With all your heart. Ye may, and he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So you see that the knowledge is very specific. He's believing that Jesus is what? The Son of God. It means he came in the flesh. Of course, he came in the flesh for a purpose. To die, to be buried, to resurrect, that all who believe in him will receive what? Eternal life. Which is life in Christ. Right? So, he says that I believe that he is what? The Son of God. Not I believe he can do something for me. No. No, he is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. You see, when you preach rightly, you will get the right response to the gospel. If you do it rightly, you will get the right response to the gospel. If you do it wrongly, you're going to get a response that may not be entirely right. The right facts provokes the right reaction and the right response. So, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Is that what your evangelism sound like? You should compare. Do people tell you, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he came and he died for my sin. He came, he was buried for my sin. He came, he resurrected for my sin. He's now sitting on the right, Father's right hand for me. His spirit dwells in me. I believe those facts. Or you have some kind of responses that may not be believing in him as the Son of God. So, what are your responses for evangelism like? Do they see the love of God in what he did for them? The love of God is specific. See, I can show you in John 3:16. The love of God is very specific. It's what God restores back to man. Right? His place by sending Jesus. That's his love for man. That's the love of God. I mean, biblical love of God. He that spared not his own son, how shall he not freely give us all things? That comes after he has given. So, you're going to lay some emphasis on this. Are you clear? So, Philip now preached to him. Look at his excitement. He was just excited. He was just excited. He said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart. Philip is very, we're going to look at baptism. I've always been saying we'll look at baptism, but then we'll look at baptism. You are here, yeah, that's good. So no going anywhere. Look at baptism. Look at it rightly, baptism. Yeah. So those of you who feel like you need to be baptized before you are saved, we have to look at it. We have to save you. Say, I met somebody, he said, I know you all have those experiences. Are you saved? Yes. Okay. How did you get saved? I'm interested. Could you share with me your salvation? Yes. In 2002, I remember at some place, I was sent and I was baptized. So that's how I got saved. I said, ah. Baptism. In fact, let me make it specific, because when we start looking into it, it will become clearer. Water baptism. Because there are different types of baptisms. Water baptism. That's how so I'm saved. Then my heart will just be beating. Boom, 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 boom. See, yay, we need to save this one. Oh. We need to actually save this one. I've been baptized like 3 times. So I'm never missing. You know, everything in life, I've always wanted to be very sure. So if the first one miss, the second one cannot miss. If the second one miss, the third one cannot miss. That means that, boy, the first one I remember. The second one, I did it quickly. I told my dad that I had baptism. I said, you're going to be baptized again? I said, yes. So, I remember they drove us to, we actually went for mission somewhere. So, I had joined them. I joined them. So I just said, let me just join, Ija. So, I'm sure the pastor saw me and said, hey, you are here? I said, yeah. Just baptize. We'll be fine. You know, just baptize. It was in a river. I remember so clearly. Then the third one, I'd already had a river baptism. Just in case, maybe one feels. So the river is baptized. Then the third one, we went to a place and I wrote my name again. But that one was a pool. You know, like a pool. So I remember so well, you get into the steps, like it's a 5 steps. You know, then they speak. Then they put you inside there. Yes. 3 times, it can't fail. Yeah, so, but that's not our conversation for today. Yeah, so he was so excited. He just said, what stops me from being baptized? Then Philip, dude, look at what Philip said. It's almost like a divergent response. What stops me from being baptized? Then look at what he said. If you believe with all your heart. Philip should have said, nothing stops you. Just baptize. That's how you'll be saved. So, then, he's full of excitement. Full of excitement. Full of excitement. So you see that Philip preached Jesus to him. Do you see that? A very wonderful apostle. Now look at Apostle John. Apostle John. We have to thank God for Jesus. So. Because me, I'm sure I'd have been renewing baptism every 3-4 years. Just in case. Yeah, just in case. I want to be sure. Very sure. Say, today I don't feel like you go and baptize. Can you baptize me? Say, ah, but you, brother, you've been in the church for a while. I said, Pastor, just baptize. I don't want any argument. Just baptize. Just baptize. Just baptize. Who sent you? Just baptize. Yours is to baptize. I mean, yours is to water baptize. Let me be more specific. Because there are different types of baptism. So, in John chapter 3, verses 16, this is actually John's account of Jesus' words. So Jesus is actually preaching to Nicodemus. Right? Then he now says, verse 13. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Is that his crucifixion? We find his death in his crucifixion. Then he says, whosoever believes in him, right, should not what? Perish, but have what? Eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not have eternal life. How did he give his Son? He gave his Son to die, right? That's how he gave his Son. Then his Son does not condemn the world, but that the world through him will be saved. Believes in him. So we see in Peter's accounts, we see in Paul's accounts, we see Philip's emphasis. We have seen Jesus' words according to John's writings. And we can see that the gospel is very specific, right? And to receive of that gospel is to believe in the facts of the gospel. Anyone who believes is going to be saved. Believes in what? Believes in these facts of what he did. You know, sometimes you can even preach to someone, not you, but sometimes you can preach to someone. Then you ask the person, what do you believe? And the person doesn't know what they believe. You can try it, not with you, but I don't know who it is I'm going to be talking to. But just in case it is you. Say, do you believe? Yes. What do you believe? Can you say it again? That's what they say, isn't it? Can you repeat? So I always like to be very engaging. Because I get to understand that to be really saved, there needs to be an understanding. You need to understand what I'm saying to you. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? And the person will say, can you repeat it again? Okay, let's look at it. So anyone who believes in Jesus, which is believing in the facts of what Jesus came to do, that person is going to be saved. Let's do a quick believe work. Let's go to Mark chapter 1. A quick believe work. A quick believe work. A quick believe. Mark chapter 1 verses 15. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 15, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. It means change your mind. Change your mind of what you previously believe and believe the gospel. Repent is the word metanoia. It's, you know, to have, you know, it's almost like to look in a direction. Then you change that direction and then you look in another direction. So change your mind, metanoia, repent. Change that thought pattern to believing that Jesus is the Son of God. And you believe in the gospel. Believe the gospel. Believe the gospel. Believe the gospel. Believe the gospel. I told you the gospel is very specific. Specific. It entails certain details. Mark chapter number 16, verses 15. And he said to them, Mark 16, verses 15. So believing in the gospel is how a man gets saved. Only believing will allow God's word do that. Talking. Verse 15. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be what? Condemned. 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 John chapter 1 verse 12. Believing is how a man is saved. John chapter number 1 verses number 12. But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who do what? Believe in his name. Believe in his name. Believe in his name. What is believing in his name? Jesus. You believe in Jesus. When you say you believe in Jesus, what does that mean? You're trying to give me the end of what we are coming to. You're supposed to be more specific. When you believe in Jesus, you believe in him as savior of the world from sin. How did he save the world from sin? By his death, burial, and resurrection. Do you see that? Great. So, in John chapter 1, verses number 12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. John chapter 6, verse 29. Believing is how a man gets saved. Can we say that? If a man does not believe in the facts that are relevant to the gospel, he is not saved. He's not saved. He's not saved. He's not believed that Jesus has come in the flesh. He cannot be saved. That's an antichrist. Many of them walking around. Yeah, I believe he's just a powerful prophet. You are not saved, my brother. You need to be saved. We need to get you saved. How are we going to get you saved? By preaching to you, huh? Great. So in John chapter 6, verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he what? He sent. John 6, 69. John 6, 69. This is Peter answering the Lord and saying, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you see that? So there has to be an activity of belief. In John 16, John 16, John 16, John 16, John 16 verse 7. Nevertheless, John 16 verse 7. John 16 verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of what? Sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not what? Believe in me. John chapter 20. Believe is how. Just get them believing in him and what he came to do in the facts of the gospel. Let me mark my time. If not, before I realize it's 6 p.m. So that I know to what length to talk. There's a thing I have to cut intentionally looking at it. But when I have to look at it, so I don't talk. So you have to believe, right? Believe. 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 You have to believe. You have to believe. John 20 verse 31. But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is what? The Christ, the Son of God. And that believing you may have life in his what? Name. Do we see that? Let's go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Verses number 37. I told you we'll be coming to Acts 8 again. Acts 8, 37. Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, right? You may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's come in the flesh. I believe in the facts of what he came to do in the flesh. And so, I believe. I have great assurance, faith in these things that he came to do for me. I believe. In Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Let's go to Acts 16. Acts 16. Don't get tired of these things. I told you, you need them for your discipleships. Do you see that? It's just believe, 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 believe. Not believe plus change your lifestyle. Believe plus stop. Believe plus. No. Let's stick to it. See, God is wiser than all of us. What he writes, he's very clear about. Just believe, and that's how you receive salvation. Do you see that? So you're supposed to believe in what he came to do. That's how we receive that life that he came to give. We can consider those things in your walk with God and your spiritual growth. Those things are going to fall off. You know, I met somebody who said, Pastor, for something years, look, I've been struggling with this particular thing. I just look at him, I smile. I said, you know what? Just keep coming to church. When was the last time you came to church? You know, that's where it starts. I've been very busy, you know. I said, that's the problem. That's the problem. That's the problem. Because you need to grow. Some things just fall off when you grow. You just need to grow. When you grow, they will fall off. And when it comes to your growth, it's very different. There's not a specific account of growth. That's why somebody can be given to discipleship. In 3 months, the person has changed and the person is starting to make others also. Sometimes even in 6 months, sometimes in 1 year, somebody comes and is completely changed. And then there's also another person that takes 3 years, 5 years, 6 years to get a hold on what they've been telling. I mean, they've been spoken to. That one is not Jesus that, you know, sort of like says, no, you'll be serious in 3 years because seriousness is not given to you. Just the more hungry you are, the more you will eat. The more you eat, the more you will grow. So, Jesus needs to be believed in. The facts of the gospel need to be preached. And I said, preach simply and what? Clearly. You're not going to preach your own experiences, right? Let me say that. Pastor, I hear this. Pastor, I can't preach. I said, why? When I look at my life, and me going to stand before somebody and preaching to them, I think I need to just stay in my room. So, I ask a lot of times when I have these questions come to me, I said, who are you preaching? Who are you preaching? Are you preaching Jesus or you are preaching yourself? Now, there's a place where character influences people to be more receptive to the gospel. But character in itself is not the gospel. We must make it very clear. We need good character. I teach you to have good characters in so many places. But when we present him to people, can we take two steps aside and say, Jesus is the one that saves you and that saved me. Can you believe in him so you will be saved? I like the Samaritan woman. People like that do well in ministry. They hear it. So great a news. They go and gather everybody. Because they want everybody to hear. Right? So, you are preaching Jesus. You are not preaching your lifestyle. That's why I'm saying, put a dent on what Jesus is doing. Now, can your lifestyle become the reason why people accept what you preach? Of course, your character can influence them to hear you. But your character doesn't save them. It's the message preached to them that saves them. Anybody who is bad, whatever way, that stands to preach the gospel, whatever way, people are going to be saved. Because Jesus is the one that does the saving. And many times he's going to use vessels that preach. It's just because your own is not fornication, that's why. But you lie. No, not you. Because I've taught you not to lie. So don't lie, eh? So that guy is going to say, Pastor, because I had something to do with this fellow, I don't think ministry is mine. See, ministry is yours. Are you listening? So you find people shun away while they should be doing what they have to do. Preach Jesus, don't preach yourself. If you preach Jesus, you won't have problems. Just preach him. You know, it's like that publican who stands up and says, Lord, I'm fasting. Don't sleep on. I don't allow people to sleep in front of me. It's totally unacceptable. Huh? You kill the anointing. So, you realize that people want to preach themselves. Don't preach yourself. Just preach Jesus. Preach Jesus. Preach Jesus. Preach Jesus. When you go to present the message, present it as it is. Are you listening? So, in Acts 16:31, so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Believe on the Lord Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus. And you will be saved. You and your household. Believe in the Lord Jesus. And you will be saved. You and your household. So are you going to preach believing as the means for salvation? I said we're going to do a quick work. Acts 19. It looks like I'm a bit slow. Because it was supposed to be. Then we have gone forward. But I think it's still good. Acts 19 verse 4. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on the Christ. So they should do what? Believe on him who would come after him, that is on who? On Christ Jesus. Look at Romans 4. Romans 4. Romans 4. 24. Are you being blessed?
Very much.
Okay. Romans 4, 24. But also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who believe, they believe. It's going to be our emphasis. Romans 10, verse 9. Believe. Just believe in what I'm telling you. Have faith in what I'm telling you. That those facts presented are true. Romans chapter 10 verses 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and what? Believe in your heart that God raised him up from the dead, you will be saved. I have questions coming in from here. Three days, someone called me. I'm saying it because it happened quite recently. I have questions like this coming in. What's the place of confession? What's the place of believing? So what if somebody doesn't confess? It was late at night. I said, hey, I have to do Bible study again. So I said, pick your Bible. Then we went scripture, 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 scripture. We combed. So, you know, normally when the scriptures do the talking, the person will just be, it's okay. So then I now came back to Romans 10 and I said, do you see it now? Yes, please, I see it now. Case closed. All right, so you're going to believe, right? But I'm not going to do that with you because we're not looking at confession. But you will find snippets of it in the believer's confession. Yeah, there are snippets of it in there. In Romans 10:14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So they need to what? Believe. Let's go back to Luke 18. Luke 18 verses 42. Then Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you whole. Luke 18. Luke 18. Luke 18. Luke 18. look Okay, let's go back. Let's go to Luke 23. Luke 23. I'm looking for a particular verse. Okay. This is the king of the Jews. Of course, the soldiers mocked him. Verse 40. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing that you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." No sleeping. If I get you sleeping, I'll let you stand up. I should tell you. Me, I've not slept. I've come to stand here. Slept two hours or 3 hours or whatever. I've come to stand here. You are sleeping. You should just come and sit down. You are sleeping. If I get you sleeping, you stand up. You let me see you. I've just told you in advance. So that when you sleep and I say, stand up, you see what you say. I won't let you stand up and tell me if you love my Jesus. I will call you outside. So if you want to sleep, stand up behind there. I want to kill the anointing for teaching this morning with your sleep. See, I've been paused on what I'm saying. Acts 15. Acts 15. But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as what they. So believing is what gets what? People saved. And like I told you, there's need for us looking into God's word like this. Huh? There's a place for an atmosphere. There's a place for looking into it. There's nothing that's important. Are you listening? So, we're going to be preaching these facts of the gospel. So do we see what evangelism is? Do we see what evangelism is? We see what evangelism is. It entails preaching certain facts. It entails preaching certain facts. You see, when you're asked a question by somebody who is really, you know, how many of us have met somebody who has read a lot of mystical, scientific books? See, I hope you are not always hot. There you don't sing, "We praise your name." Hey, we are looking into it. What do you have to say that makes? And Jesus' model of discipleship wasn't only just with the power, the atmosphere, the presence. Sometimes they were didactic teachings. Like we sit down, we are talking. We're looking at it. I'm looking at you. We're looking at you. Talking to you normally. Is that not how your lectures teach you? Yes, but you turn out becoming very brilliant workers at work, isn't it? Because you stayed sitting in something like this for 4 years or for 6 years. So you should be able to tell your friends, hey, you should be able to. Don't be some way. That's not how I train you to act. When you see me in meetings, you see me like this. I'll be there like that. Do you understand? Whether the meeting is long or not, you see me just sitting there like straight. I'm there. Sometimes you see, but I'm there. I'm there. You rest your back small, then you get back to it. In fact, many times I don't even rest my back. Many times, if we have an 8 hour teaching, I'm going to probably sit in like, somebody who knows me well should sit the way I sit. Coming. Yeah, that's how I sit. Like that. That's how I sit. I don't even exhaust the chair, like, back rest. So if I'm like that as your pastor, you should be the same. Don't have that. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. That way, it doesn't make your buttocks rest and your back rest. So it gives no room for tiredness. Huh? That's exactly how I do it. Till like that. Because I want to get something. But if you say... The air condition too is just... It's not high, it's not low. Sleeping is very conducive. You see, when it's high, we're going to be in trouble. When it's low, there's not going to be so much trouble. But when it's like this, see, you are just cruising. Like you cruise gently. You cruise. Because it's just room temperature. Or quite normal. Or those at the back, you don't have the air conditioning getting there. You have the fan. So say, Ivan, if you sleep. I know a preacher who says that, you know, he doesn't really mind. You can sleep. You can teach for 3 hours. You are sleeping. He does not really mind. Me, I mind though. I mind. It's like pouring water into baskets that are full of holes. Say, Pastor, as you were preaching, the word was entering my spirit. Hey, this one is not, this one, the words don't enter spirit. We are looking at it. You're saying the word is entering your spirit. This one, the word doesn't enter your spirit. We need you to look at it. Who can sleep for the next 30 minutes? Then we ask you, then you'll be able to produce. You say, yes, Pastor, you quoted Acts this, John this, Matthew this. It doesn't enter like that. It enters, you write. That's how the word enters. You write. And you listen attentively. And you pray alongside the teaching. Right? I also know that place. Because I also sometimes, when I'm about to sleep, I have something playing around. Just in case. It can enter. But it's not in congregational settings like this. You see, it's not in congregation. So don't be. You're making me even change my exhortation this morning. It's like Jude trying to preach salvation. But then he realizes that there are some dangerous people in the church. Starts with salvation, then he comes away. Then he talks about disloyalty and disloyalty and disloyalty. I wanted to preach salvation to you. But there are some people in the church. If we don't get them out, there's going to be trouble. It's like that. You know, as a pastor, you want to preach Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Then you see that some people are misbehaving. You say, Jesus, let's put Jesus in that loyalty and disloyalty. Of course, you can't put him aside, right? So you now have to be explained. You know, Jesus had disloyal people. You know, instead of you just go ahead and preach Jesus, the love of God, you know, the salvation of men, you now have to now preach Jesus, then add Judas. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. It's like you are preaching him, but you have to be careful of Judas. See, I sometimes just wake up in the morning and I'm like, today feels like a Judas day. and I type it there. Feels like a Judas day. It was like a Judas. Why am I feeling some way? There's something that's like Judas. Then you see me type, I'll be hot like this. Trying to, you see, I put a status on my status, something on my status last week. I said, this one, It doesn't enter body. Let me add bitter. Then I deleted it. Then I added something. So he said, we are supposed to be preaching Jesus. You see, we're supposed to be preaching Jesus. If you are all some way, I will not need to preach loyalty and disloyalty. If you are all good, I will not have to preach loyalty and disloyalty. But you all are not good. So we have to do camp meeting, loyalty and disloyalty. Loyalty and disloyalty. Do you see that? Yeah. Just wake up and feel it's a Judas day. Feels like it. Feels like there's someone cooking something. It's a slanderous day. Or a slanderous week. Then you now see me going to slander. Slander now. Don't slander. Trying to show you situations where slander is not good. Jesus doesn't want you to slander. But we could have just been Jesus, the love of God, the Son of God, Savior of the world. Jesus this, Jesus that. But while you are bringing Jesus this, somebody is raising disciples that you are not aware of. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's very serious. I think you should stand. Huh? So that your blood can flow. A little. Huh? Feels like a Judas week. A slanderous week. You know, one time I woke up from a vision. You see, I'm even diverting or believe, but I'm a prophet, so I'm still prophesying. Oh yeah. Just woke up one day. Came out of a vision. And I saw something interesting. There was something being handed over. There was something being handed over to me. And I saw people around. And they were holding stones, doing like this. Okay, if this is a stone, this is too heavy to be a stone. Oh yeah, this can be a very good stone. But just that the weight will not do anything. And they had surrounded me. And while there was a crown being put on my head, I saw people doing like this. It's like they were waiting for the crown to be put. With stones. So I said, is it ordination or stoning service? Huh? Ordination or stoning? Which is which? They were stand ready doing this. Like, finish, you see. Finishes. So I came out of the dream, which is also like a vision, and I said, Lord, what meanest thou? Then he now said, accusations. That week, I started preaching on accusations. Don't accuse men of God. Don't do this. Then I also started, safeguarding my heart against accusations. Because normally, you sound like, and accusations can kill God's grace upon any man of God. Yeah. They want to bring you down. It'll start with accusations. Oh, this is what they do. This is how they do. This is what they preach. This is how they preach. This is what they think. This is how they think. You see that? Then it starts to weaken the grace of God. Because who is going to listen to an accuser? Take your seats. Who is going to listen to an accuser? Who is going to listen to an accuser? If I'm bad, why should I be preaching to you? If I'm bad, why are you here? So I now start to tactics of protecting the people from accusation. Because this work, it looks very normal. There's a devil that wants to close down what we are doing. Everybody go, door locked, door shut. Yeah. Oh, it's like this. So I now say, oh, I see. Your accusations mean nothing. I should let you know. It means nothing. Is somebody accusing me? No. Maybe, I don't know. But maybe it has come to me. Maybe not. But they mean nothing. I just want you to know. So, we can be, you see, we're enjoying, believe, the love of God. This has come up again. And we have to divert and look at it carefully. So we want to preach Jesus' love. We'll come, we'll cry to Jesus, we'll love. But hey, there's a devil lurking in someone's heart, causing discord, disobedience, disrespect. And so we have to purge them of it. I can preach Jesus' sermons till I'm done with my assignment on earth. I promise you. Yeah. Only Jesus as the Savior of the world, lover of our souls, who preached Jesus and the love of God than Jesus himself. What he was a real demonstration of love. But it was a killer that killed him. Judas is the one that killed him. So we're going to guard our hearts, right? Back to our conversation. So, we get to know what evangelism is, right? What is evangelism? It's specific. There's a message that's preached by the evangelist, the teller, or the preacher. It's a sounding message. That means we also have to know what evangelism is not. To be clear. So, how was evangelism today? Oh, evangelism was good. What did you do? Come and hear story. Story. There are specific things that are said to announce that. So, evangelism needs to have these facts. Do you see that? These facts. To have these facts. So what will not be it? Anything that is not with the activities of what we spoke about. Remember, the gospel needs to be what? Preached. So, when we stand there and we offer tracts inviting people for church programs, is that evangelism? You are not evangelism. It's as best called sharing tracts, which is not wrong. Right? See, yes, today, evangelism team number one. So take these 50 tracks. So you see, brother, so. That's very easy, right? Sunday service meeting at 10 a.m. Say, oh, yeah, yeah. Bye-bye. Now, what I'm doing, you'll be amazed people do that. No preaching, nothing. I told you that it has to be heralded, it has to be announced by your lips. How shall they hear except they have a preacher, right? So, it's not giving out tracts. You have tracts. I'm giving you free tissue. Tracts. So you give out tracts, yeah. Oh, come to church, oh. Come to church. My pastor will preach to you. My pastor will preach to you. You, what are you doing? You are supposed to be preaching. Now, is sharing tracts for church programs wrong? No. We just have to know what evangelism is not. Are you listening? So it's not distribution of tracts. and distribution of whatever. Those tracts, you need to preach, then you can share. Right? You preach. It's by preaching. I told you that we're doing it the way God wants it done. Are you listening? How we see it recorded. So, you're going to preach, then you hand over a tract. Are you listening? You're going to preach, then you hand over a tract. Evangelism is not come to church. Right? It's not come to church. Now, sometimes, you know, you find people just going around saying, come to church, come to church, come to church, come to church. Then we ask, how was evangelism? You say, oh, evangelism, it was very fine. But there was no preaching of what the gospel entails. To make it worse off, your tracts have probably nothing to do with the gospel. It's probably invitatory, not wrong. But we must know what it is, right? Now, I said this in one of our evangelism sessions after I taught it also very much clearly. Come to church is not evangelism. But then, coming to church is very vital. I made them see how vital it is. I'm not despising anything. I just want to make sure that we don't box everything together. Did you understand what I'm saying? So it's not come to church. I met someone like that. She walked to me. It was just pent here. Can I speak to you? I said, yes, please, you can speak to me. I just want to tell you, I'm inviting people for church. I said, oh yeah, that's good. That's wonderful. There is prophecy. It's a powerful service. So I said, okay. So she spoke to me about this. I said, are you going to come? And I said, I'm not going to assure you I'm going to come. But to encourage what you do, I just want you to know that I love what you do. And if I get the opportunity, which I know I was never going to get. You know, more times you are trying to not break their hearts, like you want to encourage them, right? Gonna come. Then she now said, can I get your mobile number? And I said, sure. But then when I said sure, I said, this girl, be careful, I don't get you saved though. Just be careful. Because by the time I engage you, it will be like I'm trying to do something to you. So I said, okay. So I gave her my details and I said, it's fine. So will you come? I said, honestly, if I had given her my word that I'll come, I would have gone, but I was not going to go. So I said, if I get the opportunity. And so I just encouraged her. No, it's good. Just keep doing it. So she now went further. She said, so what do you do? I said, oh, I'm just around. Around where? So I said, I'm just around. So, around where? I said, now I don't know what, are you a student? And I said, oh no, I'm not a student. So what do you do? I was like, hey, this one. So then I now said, but you have my number. She said, yes. When you text me, I'll tell you what I do. One time I met somebody. Sometimes I come around to pen to read here. Hey, now I swear. This is asking, how about here? So, it's not church. It's not. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't invite people for church, because me, I'm particular about church. But I'm just, what we are teaching requires that I tell you this. Do you see that? So, evangelism is not inviting people for church. In fact, it's the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then we must separate the activity of evangelism to the activity of inviting for church. But then church invitations are very important. Are you listening? But when you go out for evangelism, now we can actually go out for invitations for church, but that is specific. I just want us to know what we are doing. Right? Okay. So, it's not come to my church and hear my pastor. No, you have a mandate just like I have to announce and to herald and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just like me. Just like me. Just like me. Just like me. And in fact, the moment you're able to preach, right, and their hearts remain open, you're going to get them to church. When? Immediately. Look at Acts chapter 4. I told you that we're going to see something. Acts chapter 4. Don't wait. Are you listening? There are times where you may not have the opportunity, but whenever you do, it should be on your side to get them involved.